Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We're in the home stretch now in the race to replace the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Just 4 days left for the Democratic candidates, the four Democrats, and the two Republicans to win over voters. So expect some heavy campaigning this weekend and a final dash on Monday before the polls open on Tuesday. To preview these final days, we turn this morning to WBUR's political analysts, both in the studio with us this morning. On the Democratic side, Dan Payne, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
On the Republican side of the fence, Todd Domke, good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
They both write for the Boston Globe. In the Democratic contest, Martha Coakley has led the polls from the start. Are the last days, Dan Payne, going to provide any chance for her rivals to change that?
Well, that's up to them. It's up to the other candidates as to whether they want to use that opportunity to contrast themselves with Martha Coakley. Up till now, they haven't bothered to do it.
Todd?
Right, and I don't see any reason why all of a sudden it'd start with only hours left to try to go after her. It's been strange because, you know, her whole strategy has been dare to be cautious. You know, don't take any risk. And a lot of times that in itself is taking a risk. But the other candidates played along. They didn't go after her. In fact, she was masterful so much in tranquilizing the race, in keeping the other candidates from attacking her, that at the end, in the final debates, they were attacking each other. And she seemed like a stateswoman by comparison.
Why haven't the candidates, the three guys, so to speak, gone after Martha Coakley more vigorously than they have? They've been fairly silent in terms of directly challenging her.
Well, I think partly the word you just used, guys, they felt very conscious about the idea that if three guys were ganging up on the only female candidate, there could be backlash. And there would be because, you know, her whole historic opportunity here to be the first female U.S. senator from the state is a lot of what's kept her the front runner.
Yeah, I also think that there's a problem in a multi-candidate race. If candidate A attacks candidate B, B's votes may go to candidate C. So you don't know when you start to attack what effect it's going to have, not only on you, but on the others in the field.
And that's what was so strange when Capuano attacked Pagliuca, who's no real rival to him.
Let's talk about each of these campaigns separately in a very brief way. Does Coakley change anything in terms of strategy in this final weekend, Dan?
No. It's been working. It ain't broke. Why fix it?
And in a way, she has, only in that her personality has come out more. But I think that's just the confidence of her expecting to win.
Congressman Mike Capuano, anything he can do to catch Coakley? And I ask, mindful that a writer for Congressional Quarterly Roll Call calls this now a two-person race between Coakley and Capuano, saying Capuano has gained ground. Do you believe that?
Well, it's more of a one-and-a-half-person race at this point. I mean, Capuano, yes, is stronger than his other two rivals, but he's still so far behind. As I said, he came off as an ogre near the end.
Dan Capuano?
Capuano needs to do what he did when he first ran for Congress, which is to make his base so big, so large a share of the vote that it can carry him. When he ran for Congress, he beat two millionaires, ex-Mayor Ray Flynn, and two state legislators with high profiles. He's not intimidated by this kind of a challenge, but he's really running out of time. And the big thing he needs is Joe Kennedy Jr.'s endorsement. And it doesn't look like it's going to come.
Dan, Alan Casey, is he a dark horse candidate? He's had a fairly good week in terms of picking up a bunch of high-profile endorsements.
Yeah, Alan has run a better campaign than I thought he was going to run, given his limited experience. He's very knowledgeable on a lot of issues. But his problem is that the kind of campaign he's trying to run is similar to what Deval Patrick did and what Barack Obama did, only they had a lot more time. Deval Patrick ran almost 2 years before the election, Barack Obama a year and a half.
That's right. Alan Casey needed to be the new ideas candidate. Instead, he sounded just like the other candidates, same liberal talking points. If he had instead been the new ideas candidate, it's conceivable that he could have turned on a lot of independents who are sitting out this primary. That was his only chance to change the dynamic of this race, to become the candidate who independents would come in to vote for. That didn't happen.
If there were more time, you think he could catch?
No, I think it's too late for him, and it's a shame. I mean, he's, you know, being new to politics isn't an advantage if it just means you're naive and learning the game. He learned the game too late.
Todd, Steve Pagliuca came out swinging in the debates this week. He's still all over the air with advertising.
That's right. In fact, I think I saw him sitting on the couch between Bernie and Phil the other day. He's so ubiquitous on the commercials. But he's proven yet again that money can't buy you love or respect or votes. You know, his dollar per vote ratio will probably end up being a new record.
Yeah. What Pags has to do next week is contact his stockbroker and figure out how he's going to get some of the $10 million he dropped on TV back. He spent a lot of money. He made some noise. I don't think it has done him much good. He's fighting for third place on Tuesday.
And on the GOP side, State Senator Scott Brown, businessman Jackie Robinson facing off in the primary Tuesday. Their race has not captured much attention, and the polls show that Brown will defeat Robinson in the primary on Tuesday. No surprises there, Dan.
No. Jackie Robinson is kind of a character from campaigns past. He's a bit of a loose cannon. He's making Scott Brown's work very easy. It should be, you know, if Scott Brown doesn't get 75% of the vote, I'd be very surprised.
That's true. I mean, in the past, Jackie Robinson would get in the teens, like 15% of vote. Scott Brown's a solid candidate. He's been running a 1980s-style Republican campaign, though. He needs to be more innovative, imaginative. He needs to engage the Democrats.
If it is Brown versus Coakley in the final after Tuesday, will it be a race, or will Coakley just simply be ahead from the start?
Well, she'll be ahead from the start, but it can be a long shot victory for Brown if she continues to tranquilize voters to the point where Democrats just don't feel motivated, just take for granted that she's going to win and don't turn out. Obviously, Scott Brown would need a lot of independents, but theoretically, it's possible.
First, though, the primary campaign on Tuesday, we'll be covering it. And if you'd like to speak with the Democratic candidates, they'll be on Radio Boston at 1 p.m. this afternoon here on WBUR. You can call in, email, or tweet with your questions or comments. Dan Payne, Democratic political analyst, thanks a lot for coming in.
Always glad to help.
Same to Todd Domke on the Republican side.
Good to be with you.